Welcome to Adriana's Mystic Connections on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, brought to you on the second Saturday monthly from 10 to 11 a.m. Adriana's Mystic Connections is hosted by Adriana Lesniak. Adriana is a truly gifted medium, energy healer, and teacher. She has taught people from all over the world about the sacred triad. She travels regionally to share her gifts of channeling, healing, and intuitive guidance. She is also a compassionate and devoted woman of spirit. She invites you to call in for guidance, wonderful, inspiring topics, and counsel from the angels. The second half of the show, she will be offering mini readings to callers. If you would like a mini reading, please call in at 646-378-0378. Now I give you your host, Adriana.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Courtney. Loving that beautiful intro. I am so blessed today because in addition to our normal show, we have an amazing, amazing guest, and her name is Normandy Ellis, and she will be with us shortly. Today is May 9th. And tomorrow is Mother's Day. And for those of you who, like me, have mothers who have crossed and are on the other side, it's a very reflective time. Not only because we miss them, we love them and we feel their guidance around us all the time, and yet, not the same as being able to hug them and talk to them and argue with them and all the things that we used to do when they were here. It's just not the same. And that's a gift for those of you who have mothers here. Even if they're argumentative, even if they're cross, even if they're like, I don't like all this fuss. It's a gift to just get to hear them say that. No. You went to all the trouble of getting chocolate and flowers. I don't like all this fuss. Well, too bad. Deal with it. So a lot of us, like me, also have mothers who are not birth mothers. So they may be mothers who are mother-in-laws or mothers who have stepmothers or a woman who has stepped into that role in your life, has become that mentor and that advisor. You know, this is the perfect weekend to reach out to them as well. Let them know, hey, you fill a hole in my life, and I'm really grateful for you. So thank you for being mom. And then, of course, I'm a parent. So my children are asking me what I want for Mother's Day, which is a really nice question. But there's that part of me, and I can just hear my mom, oh, just spending time with you is enough. Don't spend your money. This is a Hallmark created holiday. And so, and I always hated when she said that. So I try to be helpful and say things like flowers or things that, you know, I may actually want. I always was like, Mom, please, what do you want? Just tell me so I can just go get it. I love the mother energy that I have around me. And I do have several mothers who are in spirit, and I love that too. I love their energy and their connection. I know they're still with me. So, my wonderful guest, Normandy, is a subject matter expert on all things Egyptian, has written several books on Egyptian gods and goddesses, and is going to be talking with us today about the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Courtney?
Yes.
Do we have Normandy with us?
Yes, we do. Welcome to the show, Normandy.
Hi, thank you for having me on the show. Good to be here. Hi, Adriana.
Hi. Thank you. I am so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here, honey.
This is our second attempt. The first one didn't happen in the timing we wanted because you were injured. But, you know, everything happens the way it's supposed to happen.
That's right. That's right. I'm much healed, feeling much better. And I just want to thank everyone who sent me energy for healing. And it's all working wonderfully. So thank you.
Well, I'm so grateful for your presence in my life. And you are an inspiration to many, many people. Can you explain to us what the Book of the Dead is? That's a little bit of a scary title.
Yeah, and it's not the real title. In ancient Egypt, it's called the Book of Coming into Light.
Oh, my gosh, it's completely different.
Yes, exactly. The Egyptologists called it the Book of the Dead because they found it, you know, in tombs. But really, it's about how to turn death consciousness into light consciousness.
There's so many things that our dear Egyptologists tried to get right and then got backwards. But so you're a priestess of Isis.
I am a priestess of Isis.
So tell me about that.
Okay, it's through the Fellowship of Isis, which was started by Lady Olivia Robertson, who was from the UK, and she began with her brother, Lawrence Robertson, a Fellowship of Isis in the Clonegal Castle where they lived. And it's really international now. It's all over the world. There are many, many priestesses working in the tradition here in the United States. And I'm an archpriestess of the Fellowship of Isis. Lady Olivia has passed on. And when she crossed, though I didn't know it at the time, she came to me in a dream. And she touched my hand and said, "What will you do for the Fellowship?" And I said, "Oh, Lady Olivia, anything you ask me." And so she said, "Done."
Well, you're spreading the word about that, and I know I am interested in learning more. I'm always interested, and partially because I am a female, and we're still moving towards the revealing of all the magnificence of who we are and who we were. I'm always interested in the goddess aspect and in the priestess aspect of spiritual connections, which in some religions has been lost. So I just salute and honor that that's a part of you and that's part of what you're bringing to us.
Thank you, Adriana. You know, it really was from a very early age that Isis came to me, and she began to come at first under the auspices of a very Roman Catholic Mother Mary.
Really?
I fell in love with this image of that was on the statue, on the mantle of my aunt, who was very devoted Catholic, and it was Mother Mary standing on the globe of the world with the serpent under her foot. And, of course, later I learned that that's a direct take from images of Isis standing on the world with the serpent set beneath her foot in her blue robe. So, but when I was a child, you know, I looked at that and I didn't really understand the connection. But she told me her name was I'm God's Wife. That's what she told me. I'm God's wife. So I used to go outside down to this little stream that was near our house, and it had these, it was a wooded place, and I would, like, take planks of wood and make little altars there with ball jars and flowers in them. I'd spread my blankets on trees, And I would just lie there and look at the hem of God's wife's dress and talk to her. So that was my cathedral in the trees, and it started very early. And then I just, you know, began to discover that her name was Isis.
Mm-hmm. Married to Osiris.
That's right, married to Osiris. Mother of Horus, who was very much in his story a hero who fought the spiritual battle, very much like Jesus. You know, he was immaculately conceived and had to be hidden away after his birth and so on. A similar story.
There are so many similar Jesus stories going back thousands and thousands of years. The more I look, the more I find. So much of Egyptian, I'm going to make up a word, godology permeates Catholicism. It's amazing how much, even to the papal robes and the papal garb, how much is similar to, goes back to the Egyptian theology.
Right, and I think it's interesting. 2 points about that, I think. Number one is that there's, in Vatican Circle, there is a great big obelisk that used to stand in Egypt, you know, at the entrance to a temple. So that's one clue right there.
Mm.
And the other is, I think that much of, you know, the teachings that we got from early Christian writers in Alexandria, the Gnostic writings,
mm-hmm.
all of that seemed to be from people who were Gentiles who sort of saw their old stories, and Gentiles is a nice word for pagans who saw their stories inside these Christian stories of what Jesus was doing, and then made these connections, wrote these texts that then became part of our biblical scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
So, last year when I met you at the Great Lakes Retreat, which my listeners know how much I love the Great Lakes Retreat, it's one of the few places in the United States where you can get with like-minded people, attend classes and workshops, and be in a reflective, light-filled community to learn and grow for an entire week. It's
yes.
beautiful and amazing, and you're going to be there again this year, and you'll be teaching. What will you be teaching about?
I am going to be teaching this year information that's basically about how to keep your own Book of Coming into Light, which many people know the Book of Shadows in, like, the Celtic tradition.
Uh-huh.
But I'm calling it, you know, creating your own Book of Shadow and Light, and it's really about keeping a metaphysical journal and working with different disciplines and kind of measuring the responses that you get from certain practices, you know, coming to write down your meditations and understanding. And we'll do some similar writing as if we were writing from the Book of the Dead. We'll write a few things in the class as well.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, the Great Lakes Retreat Center I always think of as the greatest spiritual slumber party that ever was.
What a great description. Absolutely perfect description. You know, I also study in the spiritual church, and you are a very large part of Camp Chesterfield, which is a historic spiritualist setting in Indiana.
That's right. It's on the National Historic Register. And it's been here, I think, since 1888, really. So over 100 years. And it's a community in which mediums and healers and ministers live together. People come here for classes. We have a seminary, and we have a metaphysical school. So my understanding is that the seminary at one time in the distant past was run by the National Episcopal Church.
Oh.
But it's now run by the Indiana Association of Spiritualists and has been for a very long time now. But it is a theological seminary, and people come here to study and become ordained as reverends, and I have just reached that highlight in my life. I was an ordained reverend on April 25th.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow, that is just a historic milestone. Congratulations, Reverend.
Thank you. And it's a wonderful place. I invite anyone to check it out on the website at chesterfield.net. But if you're in the vicinity, you can come Saturday night to churches. We have wonderful church services that are all message galas. So four mediums, sometimes five mediums, will get on the platform and deliver messages to the congregation. We also do regular Sunday services with sermons and messages at 2 o'clock. So, and the Saturday night services are at 6. So please come, and you can get a reading from anyone here on the campgrounds. You can just find us, you know, on a list inside the regular book called The Good News.
For those who don't know what a spiritualist is, a spiritualist believes in life after death, but also believes that there is a flow of communication and information. And to prove life after death, a spiritualist will provide messages from those who have crossed to those who are living. So it's such an amazing, unique religious practice that it just resonates with my soul, and so very different from other religious practices say you shouldn't be communicating with spirit. What are you doing? Of course you should.
Well, it's all in the Bible, all of the gifts of spirit, including healing and discerning the spirit world and, direct voice, talking to God, inspirational writing. All of that is in the Bible and is listed as gifts of the spirit. One of the things that spiritualists do is that we don't kick anyone out because they have a different take on, you know, we have Buddhist spiritualists and we have traditional Christian spiritualists and we have Hindu spiritualists and me, I'm an Egyptian spiritualist, you know. So, but we embrace all religions. You know, and we teach all religions that God is inherent in all of that, that the divine speaks to us through every religious tradition. And the other thing I think that's really important is that we don't believe that if you die and you're in an imperfect existence when you die, we don't believe that the door to reformation is closed. We believe that it's still possible for the soul in its other state to attain enlightenment as well.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. And as a medium myself, and as you're a medium, I know that you've talked with many people on the other side who also want to just alleviate concerns or fears about that to their loved ones, because their loved ones are like, oh my gosh, did they make it? Did they make it to the good part? The good area?
Right.
Did they get past those pearly gates? And it's like one of the first things they would say is, don't worry, I'm fine, everything's good.
Right, right. And I think, you know, it's really interesting because I'm married to a man who found spiritualism difficult for him to understand because he did not feel like he could communicate with spirit. But finally, when he was here, it was actually my ordination day. He was here and received a message from his mother, Martha.
Oh.
And he had been thinking about something very strongly, but he hadn't spoken to me about it or anyone else. And she answered his question. And I can remember the change in his demeanor and how he said later, "Oh, I get it now. It's all about how they've not gone. They're still here and they're looking out for us. And, you know, they want the best for us and they still love us."
Yeah. And I've talked to my loved ones on the other side so many times, and they are around me. They'll come in sometimes to give me, like, a clear warning, and or they'll just, give me a hug. Let me know when someone else in the family needs a little pick-me-up. You know, go talk to your brother.
Right.
He'll hear from you. Oh, okay. My mom is still doing it. And, you know, they remain who they are. Like, my mom is really pushing me to give a car to my brother, and I'm explaining this to my husband, who's looking at me cross-eyed. It's like, no, we're not giving a car to your brother. It's like, well, but you don't understand. Mom said that she'll make this happen if we do that. We'll get a different car. And he's just looking at me like, So he and my mom didn't always see eye to eye when she was on this side as well. So that's kind of, you know, I understand.
Right.
Now, last year, you were planning for a trip to Egypt. Is that still in the works?
Yes. I went last year to Egypt, and then this year I'm going again in December. Although I have to say, wonderful news is that trip is full. But
that's
I'm
wonderful,
going again. Yeah, it's great. I'm going again May 2016, and that trip is about half full right now, but we're looking for more people. We only take 18 people, and it's a private boat. It's kind of like the most VIP way for you to go and see Egypt. You know, you you have an air-conditioned boat. It's a very small boat, so we can go places that the large boats don't go. We can dock in somebody's little sugarcane field at the edge of the bank, you know, and watch his water buffalo come down to drink in the morning. You know, it's just so sweet. And
oh, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, you realize when you're sailing it that way that you're back into what was kind of like the biblical Egypt, you know, where the Haran float above the water, and you're not in the midst of a city, and you're not in the midst of diesel fumes. You know, and then when the big boats leave, we go to the temples and have them all to ourselves. And it's just lovely. It's really one of the most wonderful, relaxing ways to explore your spiritual nature. And we'll, you know, we get to go into places that a lot of people don't go. Like, we'll do sunrise at the Temple of Isis.
Oh.
And not a lot of people do that. Of course, we go into the Great Pyramid, and we have about 2.5 hours inside the Great Pyramid to do ceremony and experience the sarcophagus. We'll go into closed places that normal tourists don't go. We have a wonderful guide who's just like this little guard dog who can watch and see when the guards are looking the other way, and he'll just take us into these places that, you know, large groups of people can't go, but our small group can if we move very quickly. So it's really kind of fun. And then the boat, you know, we have teaching on the boat so that you're prepared for the temples before you get there.
Oh.
We also have a private chef so that if you're allergic to wheat or if you're allergic to eggs or cheese or whatever, you know, he will cook for you whatever it is that you need. So, quite lovely.
Yeah. Oh, I want to go.
Well, you got to come.
I know. I do. This is important for my spiritual growth. I need to go.
It's great. It is really wonderful, you know, and the energy that you feel in those temples when you stand inside it and you're just silent, you know. And the walls talk to you. It's just so beautiful. So beautiful.
so, if
yeah, the next trip that we're doing, the one in May, is focused on, again, it's on writing and translating the hieroglyphs that we see, working with them as visual documents as well as sacred text, and we're doing dream incubations all through the trip. So,
oh,
it'll be fun.
So if listeners would like to get in touch with you regarding the many classes or visit you at Camp Chesterfield, Indiana, or get more information about a trip to Egypt with you, how would they contact you?
Okay, they can email me through my website, and the website's pretty easy. It's normandyellis.com. And it's Normandy with an I instead of a Y.
And we do have a link in the Body, Mind, Spirit Radio under my show, so you can just go there and follow that link and get in touch with Normandy.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, I last year when we were both at Great Lakes Retreat, I was sad because one of the mother energies in my life, who I welcomed as a mother energy, her name is Rachel Sally, wanted so much to be there and meet you. She has several of your books. She's just in awe. She knew so much about you, and yet she was facing a health issue and wasn't able to attend, and she was in grief. And you took the time at the Great Lakes Retreat to sit down with me and give her a call.
Mm-hmm.
It was she was so happy, so filled with bliss, and I was so grateful for that gift of time you gave her.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, I'm glad I got to talk with her. What a lovely spirit.
She's going to be at the Great Lakes Retreat this year as teaching two classes.
Oh, good.
And so I'm looking forward to witnessing the two of you together and seeing the culmination of that.
That'll be fun.
You know, when I was a child, I was channeling the sacred triad, which is a triangle with three circles, a circle at each point. And at the same time, I was asking questions about God, and it wasn't until much later that the two of those things I realized were the same communication. A lot of what I've studied on the sacred triad and the divinity of triangles points me right back at Egypt. And of course, Horus, Isis, and Osiris are also, you know, a trinity spiritual belief.
Right, right. In fact, in Egypt, it all works in trinities. Almost all of it works in trinities. There's masculine, feminine, and then the union of those energies that come together. So, yeah, you'll have in Luxor, for example, at the temples, you'll have the god Amun, the hidden god, the goddess Mut, who's the mother of the world. She lays the egg of the world. And then the child is Khonsu, who is the moon god. And then in Memphis, you have Ptah, who's the creator, a masculine sort of like a Hephaestus. You know, craftsperson. And Sekhmet is the very strong lion goddess, protector. And then you have a god named Nefertum, who's the...
Nefertum,
yeah, the lotus, the beautiful, perfected being of those two. So they work all in trinities like that. So you were right on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were showing me that when I was young, too young to really understand what they were showing me. And it was, I don't know, it's continuing to unfold. In the beginning, we believe from archaeological information that we've uncovered, and there's factual documentation to prove it, that in the beginning, gods were women. And God was a matriarchal philosophy. And then over time, and sometimes quite deliberately, it was changed into a patriarchal society. And the Egyptian beliefs are one of the spiritual followings that include both, that have the balance.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And, you know, when you look at, I like to look back at the ages, you know, like in the age of Taurus, which was around, I guess, 10,000 B.C., and Taurus is the cow. It wasn't a bull. It was Hathor, the goddess, the cow-horned goddess, who sort of was overseeing all of that information. There's lots of petroglyphs in the desert when the Sahara was actually a savanna. And, yeah, it was really very beautiful.
Now, was Hathor a precursor to Isis?
Yes, yes. She and Thoth are considered the two oldest divine beings. Yeah, in which we have representations of them.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, I'm just enjoying just spending time with you so much.
We are actually at
the point of the show where we stop talking to each other and start talking to other people.
Okay, sounds good.
I want to keep you all to myself. If you would like to contact me for a reading or information about upcoming classes or just general information about my book or services, and if you'd like to reach out to me about any guests that I have on the show, you can reach me at mysticconnections.com, that's my website, or adriana@mysticconnections.com, that's my email address. So, Courtney, I think we're ready for some callers. And we have a question of the day, and our question of the day is, what is your favorite thing about Egypt, or what is your favorite memory about Mom?
Oh. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I would like to welcome to the show Ellen, and Ellen is calling from New York. Welcome, Ellen.
Good morning. I've greatly enjoyed listening to the program. I also noticed the thing about the Trinity, and when you were talking about that, I, of course, thought about Christianity, and particularly Catholicism, where it's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the goddess energy has been written out of it entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, my mother's long gone. She passed away when I was still a child. So I guess what I remember, or best memory, is just having these hugs of unconditional love.
Yep.
Yeah.
What is your question for Normandy and I today?
I was wondering if you pick up anything regarding my finances in the near future.
You know, when you started talking, I thought you were going to ask me about your spine.
Oh, I have nothing wrong with my spine, do I?
When you started talking, I heard spine, and then I heard finances. And for me, spine can also mean how we're supported in our life. And so people who are concerned about finances will sometimes show that in spinal concerns. I think you have to be careful. You know, don't go overboard with spending. This is a time when you need to tighten down and buckle down. But it's not it's not going to last too long, I'd say, like for the next 6 months or so. then things are going to widen for you somehow. There is going to be more abundance coming your way.
Well, that's good to know. And do you see how the abundance comes? Is it a different job?
It could be a different job, or at your current job, you get maybe a well-deserved cost of living, or you get a raise. It might be a different job. So, you know, because they're showing me resumes. So spiff up that resume and get it out there. You know, a lot of times people will say with Catholicism that the Holy Spirit is the feminine energy.
I've never heard that. You know that? I was raised Catholic. I never heard that.
Well, you know, enlightened beings who are trying to make sense out of humanity's decisions about what is real and what is not real. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes.
You know, so what did, you know, so a lot of people say that that's Mary. And depending on which Mary, could be Mary Magdalene or could be Mother Mary. So that's something, you know, so many Catholics, so many have the healing energy and have all the connections and have this close connection with Mother Mary, love their religion and want to stay in their religion. And just like Normandy said, you know, Isis, or that feminine goddess energy, came to us first through Mother Mary.
Yes. Yes. You know, in ancient Egypt, the word Mary was an Egyptian word that meant the beloved, or the one who loves. And so it was applied to Mary Magdalene, you know, Martha and Mary, and Mother Mary. It's the one who loves. It's her capacity to love that was so pulled her energy into us. And I know somewhere in the Bible there's the statement that when Jesus leaves, he says, I'm going to be with the Father, as in we're at a distance, but I'm leaving the Holy Spirit with you. You know, and so that became the Mother Mary energy, the creative energy, the all-embracing energy. And I remember when my aunt, my very Catholic aunt, who had the statue on her mantle, would say to me, I would say, oh, Aunt Mary Agnes, that was her name, I would like such and such to happen. And she said, well, just ask your mother for it.
Hmm.
And I said, my mom won't give it to me. She goes, no, ask Mother Mary for it. She said, sometimes when you can't talk to your father, talking to your mother works better.
Oh, that is funny. That's so true. Look at that. Go to your other parent.
Right. Well, you know, Ellen, when you were talking with Adriana and she was saying that she had seen a resume, I was being shown the Egyptian goddess Sechet, who is the goddess of scribes and writing. And so there, I was also being impressed to say that this is connected to some documents. And that one of the things about finances is going over the documents that you do have. And it may even be sitting down with your budget and looking at it and going, okay, this is going out into the wrong place. I need to shift some energy somewhere else. Okay? And that's really what I'm seeing is like a shifting of the energy somewhere else. You're in a cycle right now of change and processing. And it would be a good idea to look at how you put energy into an old pattern and how you can put it into a new pattern now.
Wonderful advice.
Thank you. And thank you, Ellen, so much. And thank you for enjoying the show and your feedback. And I completely agree with you about those unconditional hugs.
Yes. Again, thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Ellen.
And Courtney, who do we have next?
Well, we have Jennifer, and Jennifer is calling from Windsor. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Hi there.
Hi, Jennifer. And so what is your favorite thing about Egypt?
Well, it's sort of my favorite and my least favorite thing. I would like to go and see the pyramids, but I would like to be airlifted and dropped there and then picked up because there are so many things about Egypt that I would not like.
Yep, there's a lot of change going on in Egypt as well.
Good change?
Well, change.
Yeah, actually, I would say yes. One of the things we have to be careful of is looking too much to the media to tell us what our world and our cultures are like.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we're going to get information that's from one person's perspective. One of the things that I'm seeing, I have a lot of friends over there who are artists, who are beginning new associations that are gathering people who are artists together in work. There are a lot of really wonderful people of all faiths there. You know, you can walk down a street in Egypt and pass a synagogue and a church and a mosque on the same city block, you know? And what's amazing is that when there was disrest, you know, and there was trouble around some of the Christian churches, the Muslim people came and sort of like stood around the church so that people could be left alone to pray. And when there was trouble in Tahrir Square, the Coptic Christians stood around the Muslims who were praying. So, you know, it's we don't always see what's going on there. I've been there when, you know, they ousted one president. I was there when they ousted another president. I was there when they ousted the legislature. One thing that I remember was sitting with a woman on the airplane who had a purple thumb. And I said to her, what is that purple thumb about? And she said, oh, I have been able to vote, you know, and this is what my purple thumb signifies. So for the first time, I had a vote in how things were coming out. It didn't turn out the way she wanted, but the fact was that she had voted and she felt that that was a movement forward. There's lots of good energy going on there, a lot of good people, you know. One of the things that we don't often see, but when I live there, around the corner from the flat where I stay, there's a Muslim man who has a little, like, shop where he sells sandwiches and drinks and water and, you know, necessities and stuff like that. And when he leaves at the end of the day, he closes his shop, he locks it, and then he takes his leftover sandwiches and drinks from the day and puts them in a cooler outside his store, and it's unlocked so that anyone who needs food or something to drink can come by and get it.
That
you know?
Is so beautiful.
Our culture doesn't do that, you know.
Now, that, but then some people in our culture do, you know,
some
and the
in our culture do.
The truth about the media is that, you know, blood sells, and they're going to highlight what is going to get the audience's attention the fastest, and it's like the slash and burn type of media. So you're right, when things are going normal and good, that news doesn't always make the front page or CNN, and we end up with a slanted view of what's going on. But so what was your question for us?
I've got some health. They're not issues, but there are some health things coming up. I've also, out of my right eye, I don't know if it's a spirit I'm seeing or if it's an optical migraine. I'm not sure, but there's something that keeps coming into my right eye, and it comes and it goes, but I'm not sure what how to identify with it. Now, you know, I know that you're not doctors or whatever, and I got to go seek medical help. So
right,
you know.
We don't diagnose,
yeah.
But we will
yeah.
let you know what we see. Normandy, do you want to go first?
I think that, of course, I would say go to take a look at the doc, at what the doctor has to say. I had that happening to my right eye recently, where I would get flashes of light out of the mm-hmm. corner of the eye. And I went to an ophthalmologist, and he looked at it and he said, oh, yeah, it, you know, it's something. So, you know, it went away by itself. But I found myself going back into meditation saying, okay, it was a medical problem, but it went away by itself. So what did that leave me with? And it left me with the ability to see spirit in a different way. It was almost like this little medical condition that I had was adjusting my eyesight into another realm, you know. So that may be what's going on. And when I drew my Egyptian tarot card on papyrus, what I got was Osiris, whose hieroglyph is drawn with the eye. And it's about looking into the spirit world. So, yeah, I would say investigated on both levels, both as a spiritual vision shift and as a physical vision shift. You know, it doesn't hurt to look both ways because we have more than one body in more than one world.
So true. Also, it's amazing how much our spinal alignment can shift or change our eyesight. So be aware of that, too. And I completely second what Normandy was saying because a lot of times I'm told that colds or slight infections or something that's going on with our body like that, it is a way of shifting our DNA to raise us to a different level. So be aware of that, too. I do feel like there is a physical component. So I definitely go see an ophthalmologist or health practitioner, but there is also a spinal misalignment that could be, is what they're showing me, that could be changing your right side as well.
Okay,
is there any significance of right eye over left eye?
For me?
Normandy, is there any significance that it's the right eye rather than the left eye?
Yes. The left eye is considered the lunar eye. The right eye is considered the solar eye. And the solar eye is the eye of healing. And the left eye is the eye of visioning. Just in the tradition. So.
And then I'm getting the urge to yell at you, so I am going to yell at you. they say that you are aware of some health concerns and that you need to take them more seriously than you are. And if they're showing me that you do so for a while, but then you lapse. Okay, so try to just be better about taking care of yourself, and your general health will improve. And they're showing me you eating something that you enjoy eating but is not necessarily good for you. And they're showing me chocolate, which is my personal issue. That's the problem I have. I know that, and I will lie to myself. I'll say, well, it's dark chocolate. Dark chocolate is supposed to be very good for you. And it has antioxidants and et cetera, ignoring the fact that it's filled with sugar. So just be aware that they're saying you need to do better care of your health, and they're also showing me gentle stretching, that you are not doing enough stretching.
Okay, that makes sense. I take care of my body, and I think it's the opposite of the chocolate. I don't really eat chocolate, but I was urged to actually buy chocolate for whatever reason. I think that it's probably good on some sort of soul level, so I have it available just in case I need it, but I don't necessarily eat it all that much.
You know, I found some wonderful chocolate at a health food store near me, whose name is Rebecca's, plug here, located in Lapeer, Michigan. But anyway, it's so healthy. It's unrefined. It's cocoa nubs and some nuts and some raisins, so, you know, naturally sweet, and it's just amazing. So it may be, but they're saying you need to take better care of your body. And I am seeing the stretching, and that will help alleviate soreness. And you know what? You need more, I don't know, something in your diet. They're asking you to refine your diet slightly. Could be oil or fat or some type. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying that coconut oil. Someone said it's good for your, if you've got a, what's it called, thyroid issue, to have like a teaspoon or a tablespoon of coconut oil. So I was putting it in my coffee, and, you know, it actually didn't taste all that bad in my coffee. But I didn't really notice a difference after, you know, a few weeks. So,
how many almonds do you eat?
Zero.
Okay, good. I mean, I love almonds, and almonds are really, really good for you, but too many can affect your thyroid. And we're not doctors, so the knowledge we've accumulated and what we get from spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you a lot, ladies. I appreciate that. And that lunar eye thing makes a lot of sense.
Oh, good. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for blessing us with your presence.
Take care.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Courtney, do we have time for one more?
I believe we do. We have Andrea, and she's actually calling from Bloomfield, Michigan. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Michigan! Hello, Andrea.
I'm in my car. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, great. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hello. What is your favorite thing about Egypt?
Well, like what the other woman said, the pyramids. A long time ago, I did an experiment. I had a science teacher when I was like in seventh grade, and he taught us about pyramid power, which I thought was really cool. And so that's very cool. And Isis is one of my favorites about Egypt. And I know you said say something about my mom, and my mom really introduced me to Mother Mary at a young age. She's my go-to. So those are all my things about Egypt and my mom.
So nice, so intermingled.
Yeah.
And what is your question?
My question today is I was inquiring about a career path that I have been drawn to and guided to.
Boy, are you getting yelled at.
You
are getting yelled at. They're saying,
what?
You know what you need to do. I don't know why you're screwing around, fiddling around with this. You know
right.
what you need to do.
Yeah, this is true.
Don't delay one more day. Someone's yelling at you.
I bet. This is true. Okay. I mean, that's it. You know, I've been very guided by Mother Mary to work with the light, the return of the feminine, to, you know, spark the light in the heart of everyone
yeah.
I meet, spark the light of divinity. And, you know, I live in an area that, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, I think it's a blessing because a lot of it is not very mainstream around here.
Mm-hmm.
So even more the better why I'm planted here to talk about it. But it's hard to break through and to be heard and to be accepted. And I don't know how to go about doing it. I did, you know, I used to do readings in the past, and I feel like I'm moving away from that and into a bigger arena about the divine light. I'm struggling on how to really start crossing it. And I do it on an individual level, the people that are close to me and other, and it's mostly women that I meet because they seem to be more open about it. Just don't know exactly how to go about doing it.
That is so huge. I recommend that that if you're able to, that you come to the Great Lakes Retreat, and you can go to the website, thegreatlakesretreat.org, or that you contact Normandy and I for a personal reading where we can delve more into your soul path. And Normandy, how can we contact you again?
You can contact me by emailing me through my website at normandyellis.com.
Is it in the Body, Mind, Spirit guide? Because I'm just driving. Am I able to find it in there?
You can go to my website, my Body, Mind, Spirit Radio website, and there's a link for my guest, my wonderful guest, Normandy, so that you can connect with her. Normandy, I'm going to ask, do you, for insight on Andrea's original question about career path?
One of the things that came to me as I was drawing cards And I had two particular cards in particular. The first thing was, well, three. The first thing was the Lotus, which was that you will find a little more peace of mind that you're looking for if you stop with the indecision, if you stop with the maybe this or the maybe that. But if you stop the indecision and decide which path you want to follow, because otherwise you're keeping yourself in a stir. And the way to do this, to decide the path, is to go into your own meditative state and just let spirit drop information into you, like it's dropping water into a still pond, and then it will come out, and you'll be able to find the direction that you're looking for. The other thing that I saw very strongly is that you have Isis all around you. I drew her card, and she really is working with you and through you with that mother energy. And when I asked in what way, she showed me the sun and the rays of sunlight stretching out. It's hieroglyphs called eternity.
I do that in my. I see that in my meditation, in my light meditation. That the divine light within myself, the divine light on the outside, stretching far and wide, high and low, all the way out, surrounding the earth too. At some point.
Yes.
Beautiful. The career path is the one that makes dreams come true.
Right.
Okay. That's the one they're saying, the one that makes dreams come true. You also want to be a teacher and a writer, and they're saying not now.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
You've got to get stuff in order first.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I teach on like an individual level, mostly everybody that I meet in my life, and I know I've sent people that are seeking this. I just want to do it in a bigger arena. And also make a shift from it being just a practice to maybe a career, you know.
Well, one thing that I'm seeing is that it begins as a practice with your meditations, which you can record in a personal journal. But right now, the material is still coming and unfolding to you, so it's not time to push it out into the world. But it is time to be with the material and to pull people in a smaller way that can help you verify what you're getting, if that makes sense.
And they want you to write. They want you to write. They want you to continue to write. But the material aspects of your life need to take precedence right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Andrea, very much.
Thank you so much. I'll contact you guys through your website. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Normandy, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you too, darling.
Oh, what a blessing it has been to have you on my show. I just want to give a great big shout-out to the universe for making this happen. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Isis.
Thank you, Isis. Thank you. Oh, and you know what? As soon as I agreed with you, I saw the beautiful wings just spread out and overlap us and fold us, and I just feel comforted, and I also feel like overshadowed and protected. You know, like our walk is protected, and we are the dreamers that dream the dream.
That's right. It's so great to do this work with you, Adriana. I really appreciate it.
You are such a blessing in my life. I cannot wait to see you and at the Great Lakes Retreat. And then I'm also going to be teaching at Camp Chesterfield. And thank you for opening that door for me.
Yes, I can't wait.
I'm excited. So we only have one or two more minutes. We may have one more minute. Can you just send us out with some type of blessing or prayer?
Well, how about if I read to you from my Isis coffee cup?
Okay.
All right. I've been holding her the whole time we're talking. Okay, and this is a hymn to Isis. which is written in her voice. She says, I am nature, mother of all, mistress of the elements, queen of the immortals. My will governs the stars and the silence of the underworld, embodiment of all goddesses and gods. I am known by countless names. I am Isis.
Ooh, beautiful.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.